Well, let's turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. As we were there last week, about a third of the way through your Bible, if you can find 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles comes right after that. And just a little refresher of what's happening here, what's going on in this passage. We're going to pick up with verse 10. Remember, David was desiring to build a temple, and he wanted to do that. He had it in his heart to do it, and so he decided that he would go talk to Nathan. Nathan says, do what's in your heart to do. But that night, Nathan had a dream from the Lord saying, tell David not to build the temple. It will be his son Solomon. So Nathan comes and speaks to David about that. So David, instead of just throwing up his hands and saying, well, I guess I can't do what I wanted to do, he starts preparing. He starts organizing priests, musicians, gatekeepers, treasurers, officials, military leaders, all these things to get ready for his son, Solomon, who's going to build the temple. And remember, he stored up 100,000 talents of gold. 100,000 talents, each talent is 75 pounds, remember? So it comes out to be 7.5 million pounds of gold, which in our day today is $157 billion. And that's just in gold. He had 1 million talents of silver, which was, I think, $32 billion. Silver's not worth quite as much today. But you can just see the massive store of these materials, probably some of them from plundering the other nations. But here in chapter 29, it's over and above all that they've already stored. Now they're giving a free will offering. And David comes before the assembly and he says, I have my own store in addition to all this that I'm going to give. And he ends up giving 3,000 talents of gold, which is about $4.7 million of his own. He said, I'm giving out of my ability. I'm giving because I'm devoted to the house of the Lord. And then he asks the question. He says, who else, in verse 5, will offer willingly, setting themselves apart today to the Lord? Remember, he's focusing on their heart, not on their possessions. Because at the end of this section, in verse 9, what does it say? The people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. So they're not rejoicing saying, yes, we meet our goal. Now we have all that we need for the temple. They're rejoicing because they've given with a whole heart, freely and willingly. Well, what happens right after this? Let's look at verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, Bless the Lord your God! And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this incredible passage that we are able to see inside the heart of the man who is after your own heart. And so, Lord, we ask that you will work in our hearts today, that they would be made whole. We need your Spirit. We ask for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yesterday, I was outside with Anna and Joshua, and we were playing in the snow. We dug a big snow fort in one of the big piles there and had a tunnel that you could connect through, and we got out the sled and we're pulling up the sled up the sidewalk and then running down, and we were sledding down the piles, and we actually even trekked out to the backyard and got on our tire swing and we're swinging, and then I was trying to get the kids to just fall off into the snow, and we were having a great time. And I remember looking at Anna and Joshua, and at one point they ran right in full speed right toward me. I was actually in the snow cave, and they ran full speed toward, and Joshua's head hit the top of the cave, and it was just plastered with snow, just covered everywhere. Anna had snow all caked on her scarf, and she ate it. We were having a great time. And we were soaked, our clothes were soaked, we came in tired, Karen knocked on the window, it's time to come in for lunch, and so we started trekking. I was like, okay, let's go, and then I heard the words, can you carry me? Because the snow was deep, and so, no, I'll make a path. So we all walked in a path, it was like walking through a maze, and we were just playing out there, just being soaked and snow-caked everywhere. We're playing with our whole hearts, with everything into it. And that, just reminded me, what a great picture of how God desires us to be before Him, with our whole hearts, giving ourselves to Him. But then when it's time to shovel, or when it's time to pick up, we kind of slink back, don't we? We're hesitant. When it's time to go to school, maybe when it's time to go to work, when it's time to pay bills, our whole hearts just aren't there. When it's time to give our tithes and offerings, even, our heart attitude has changed. That same zeal that we had of our whole hearts is just not there. It's gone. And we see here in this passage that God desires our whole heart before Him. And we get a glimpse into David's heart, and how he offers up to the Lord here. What does that heart look like? And I think this prayer here in verses 10 through 19 especially, I think it's one of the greatest prayers in the whole Bible that we see. And David just pours himself out. It's a heart that's giving willingly, that's offering freely. And we're not even talking about money here. We're talking about praise to the Lord, just offering all of himself. And so this morning, we're going to look at what does this look like to have a whole heart that offers willingly, that gives freely. And first of all, I think we see in verses 10 through 13 that this kind of heart is a God-exalting heart. He makes so much of God. It's almost as if he can't find more words to express who God is. And one of the first things he says is, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Blessed are you." Blessing was a great theme in the Old Testament. The word, the root word for blessing, actually occurs 415 times in the Old Testament. So this was such a part of their culture and a part of their language. What is blessing? Well, one source says it's the act of declaring or wishing favor and goodness upon others. So if you're blessing somebody, you're wishing favor, declaring favor upon them. It's covenantal language. Remember, God says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." And so here, God is blessed for his greatness. He's blessed for his faithfulness, for fulfilling his promises, for being God to his people. Psalm 41 says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." This was something that God's people did regularly, blessing the Lord for who he is. And actually, I counted up in verses 10 through 13 alone, the word "you" and "your," referring to God, appears 11 times, compared with "we" and "our" appearing 3 times. So it's God exalting. It's all about him. "Lord, you are God. You are great. You are powerful. You are glorious. Victory, majesty. The kingdom is yours. You're exalted above all. You're ruling over all." There's just awe before him. It was kind of like last night when the thunder came and the lightning, and I thought it was snowing. And then I looked outside, oh, maybe it's not snowing. And a car drove by and I saw in their headlights the snow was just pouring down. I thought, I've never seen that before. Karen and I looked at each other and said, "Wow, that was really strange." And I looked at Karen and I said, "Maybe it's the end of the world." So that doesn't happen very often, does it? But it shows us God's power. He can make it thunder and lightning in the middle of a snowstorm in the beginning of February. That's amazing. Well, there's not only blessing here, but look at verse 13. There's thanksgiving for who God is. "Thank you for being our God, our ruler, for giving us riches and honor. All of that comes from you." And think about this in the context that they're conquering all the nations around them. God is giving them favor with all these nations. They're going out in battle. They're plundering these people and these cities. Their own people of Israel are multiplying. And then at the end of verse 13, "We praise your glorious name." The praise goes to the name of the Lord, the name that is above all names. So we think about ourselves. Do we exalt the Lord? Do you exalt the Lord? Do you bless the Lord? Well, it might have been difficult this morning, right? Actually, on Thursday, I was shoveling. That was after we got that huge storm. I was shoveling off my roof, the porch roof, and shoveling our driveway and the snow at the end of the driveway. Again and again and again. And I was tired. I think I had shoveled for a couple hours straight. And maybe with a couple little breaks. But I felt myself just wanting to start complaining. Like, I cannot believe all of this snow. But you know, that day on Thursday, it was a beautiful blue sky. The sun was shining. You could feel the warmth. And I looked up right when I was wanting to complain, and I saw on the top of the snow, just the sun was glinting off all of the pieces of snow, and it was beautiful. And I just began to praise the Lord. "Thank you, Lord, for your glory, for your majesty. This is amazing." Now, my heart isn't always there. This morning, I was really struggling with it. Came outside. Got to get to church. I didn't think there was that much snow. And then I start to shovel and there's like this layer on the bottom that's just soaked with water. And my neighbor came over. And the neighbor was on the snow blowing tractor. And I looked at her I just wasn't sure what I was going to say, because you know how some people, they just, they think of something to say, and I said, well, this is really incredible, isn't it? And she said, yeah, at least we don't have power lines down and trees down and all that. And I thought, you know, I haven't even thought about that. There's so many ways that we can praise the Lord, even with all of the snow. And that kind of gave me a renewed energy to to shovel some more. So it's a heart here that exalts the Lord. What else does a whole heart look like that gives freely and willingly? Number two, it's a humble heart. Look at verse 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer willingly to you? It's a humble humility here. How can we even offer to you anything? Because everything is from you. All things come from you. And of your own we have given you. Do you hear that? Of your own we have given you. So in other words, God has given us all things, and we're just giving back what God has already given to us. It's His own. It's kind of like saying, we don't really own anything. There's a picture of that when we live our lives here. We live in houses, and we have cars, and have possessions, but when we die, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. We can't take anything with us. So we actually don't really own anything. We don't even own our lives. We don't know when our lives are going to be taken. We're so dependent on God. I can do nothing without Him. We can do nothing without Him. You know, I was reminded this last week with the big snowstorm, not just this one, well, reminded with this one last night too, how when we're driving on the road, we're impatient. How come they haven't plowed this? How come they haven't cleared this and that? And schools have to shut down and we have to slow down. It's just a reminder, we're just not in control. God is God. And we are not. We are dependent upon Him. It reminds us of our humility. I think having a big snowstorm like this is grace to us. To remind us that God is God. We are not. We're His people. He says here, verse 15, we're strangers before you. We're sojourners. In other words, the land that they're in, it's not even their land. God has given it to them. They're just wanderers with Him. They're like nomads. And they are a shadow. Our life, our days on earth are like a shadow. There's no abiding. Psalm 144 says, man is like a breath. Think about that. In the winter, you breathe out, you can see your breath, and then it just disappears. That's a picture of our life. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. That's humbling, isn't it? Of who we are before the Lord. This is the kind of heart that God desires to praise Him. Number three, we also see verse 17, an upright heart. He says, I know that you test the heart and you have pleasure in uprightness. David said to Solomon just a chapter before, serve the Lord with your whole heart. And this is what he said, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. Psalmist says, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So there's a searching of our hearts. God is testing our heart. With a snowstorm like this, God is testing our hearts. Are we going to curse Him? How can you send the storm again? Or are we going to praise Him? Are we going to bless Him? Our hearts are always being tested. Often we don't pass the test, do we? But here, he says, I have freely offered out of the uprightness of my heart. He has given to the Lord all these treasures, this gold, this silver, all these things for the temple, out of the uprightness of our heart. Our material possessions, this is our hearts are being tested all the time. How is our heart before the Lord? Remember, it's not about your money. It's about your heart. Are we following the Lord? Are we pleasing Him? Are we giving to Him what He has all given to us? Number four, this kind of heart is a directed heart. Verse 18, here is the first petition, the first thing He asks in this whole prayer. Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts to you. Our hearts need to be directed. You know why He's asking this? You know why He's asking the Lord to keep these in our hearts, these thoughts and purposes? Because we don't keep them in our hearts. You know why He's asking God to direct our hearts? Because we stray and we wander. Remember the song we sang last week, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. And we also see, verse 19, this whole heart that offers willingly and freely is a whole heart given by God. Look at verse 19. The first word, grant or give to Solomon, my son, a whole heart. He's asking for this, for his son. We can't have it unless God gives it to us. So if you think, yes, I have been frustrated about the snow. I have withheld my own possessions and things that God has given me. You need God to give you a heart, give you a whole heart. Because apart from Him, we have no whole heart. Our heart is broken. It's fragmented. It's divided. I love how David pleads for his own son here. And I think about us pleading for our own children, even if you're older and you have children, pleading for them that the Lord would give them a whole heart, that they would follow His commands. His testimonies, His statutes, as David says here. Do you know how far-reaching this could be? If your children follow the Lord with their whole heart, think about generations after that and all the people that they will affect in their life. And we see this in Solomon, don't we? Solomon did, he did build the temple for the Lord. He used all of these things that David had stored up. But guess what? At the end of Solomon's life, he really strayed from the Lord. His life was in shambles. He followed after other gods. He strayed. The kingdom split under his son, Rehoboam. Kingdom divided. And it's a good picture that this is where we're at. We don't have a God-exalting heart alone, but a heart that is concerned about me. I heard a sermon this last week, and the pastor who was preaching, he said, I was driving along the road and I saw a bumper sticker in front of me. And he said to his daughter, he said, I don't like that bumper sticker. His daughter couldn't see it, so he had to tell her what it said. The bumper sticker said, it's all about me. It's all about me. And that is really a picture of what is in our heart. That it's all about me. There's no humility. There's pride. There's no uprightness, but crookedness. And the Bible says in Proverbs, those of a crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord. So we're in trouble. A divided heart is one that has idols, that bows down to idols, whether it be ourselves or whether it be our things. If David held on to his things and kept the storehouse secret, or like Ananias and Sapphira, they're bringing their things before the apostles' feet, but yet they kept and they lied about how much they had, and they were struck down. An abomination, a crooked heart, lying to the Holy Spirit. And our heart fails to bring glory to God. It fails to magnify Him in the way that He deserves. And it's really an offense against Him. And because of that, His wrath is coming. His judgment is here. And that's why we need Jesus. Because Jesus has given grace to people who are sinners like us, grace to people who are prideful, grace to people whose hearts are divided. And do you know why Jesus can do it? Because he exalted God perfectly. He was the embodiment of humility. He came to serve. He laid down his life. Jesus was perfectly righteous. His heart was 100% upright. He directed his heart always to his Father. Even in the garden when he's suffering and asking, Lord, may you take this cup from me. And he says, not my will, but your will be done. He had a whole heart. He had the very heart of God. He was God. And so, because of Christ, we confess our sins before him. We confess our divided hearts. We ask him to forgive us. And we receive the forgiveness in Christ by faith. And now the Holy Spirit lives in you by faith, so you're able to walk outside or go to the window like Mary and look outside at all the snow. You're able to do that and praise the Lord. You're able to lift the shovel and praise him. You're able to see things differently. It's with new eyes, with a new heart. You can exalt the Lord. You can be humble before him. Say, who am I? This storm reminds me of my limits. You can ask him for direction. Lord, direct my heart. Before that, you wouldn't even ask. You can plead for your children that they would have a whole heart. And some of you are really growing in this area. It's exciting to see how God is working in your hearts. Finally, the last verse, verse 22, look what it says. They ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. A whole heart is a glad heart. There's a celebration of who God is, of what he has done and what he will do. Now, some of you are maybe going to watch the Super Bowl today, and some of you are already not glad because your team didn't make it. But some of you will be glad if you're rooting for a certain team, whether it be the Steelers or the Packers. But think of the team that wins today, how glad they will be. The celebration, how they will eat and drink with gladness. And then think about this. You are on the Lord's team. Jesus has already won the victory. And the rejoicing that we have is far greater than any rejoicing of after a Super Bowl game. Because he has freed our hearts. He has gained the victory. And one day we will be in his presence, eating and drinking face to face with great gladness because of what he has done by his grace in our hearts. So might the Lord give us a whole heart that offers freely and gives willingly to him. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are in your hand. And they are divided, they're broken. We need to come to you every day asking for your help, especially when we have to shovel again, or especially when you command us to give you praise when things are not going well in our lives. Lord, we need a heart that beats for you, that we can see things differently and clearly. Lord, we plead for this. We plead for our children for this, and we ask that you would do it. Humble us, Lord. We thank you so much for Jesus, who turns our heart of stone into a heart of flesh, that it can actually follow you by your grace. So we need your grace today, Lord. We know that you will give it to us. And we pray that you will strengthen us, that we might offer freely and willingly with all of our heart. All of our lives would be yours, for they are all from you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.